Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the Playoff Push Podcast and your NFL recap for week 11 of the 2024-2025 NFL season. We will cover all the games, not too many upsets this week, but we did have the biggest upset of the year in one of these games. So our first segment will, of course, be covering all the games, and then we will head into our fantasy segment sponsored by Cage Starters and check out some of the biggest performances from the week and some of the biggest busts from the week. But of course, as always, we're going to start this off with Thursday Night Football, Washington, Philadelphia. Washington, on a bit of a skid, falls to Philadelphia in this one 26 to 18. And this was not so much a Jalen Hurts game as we've seen the last few times. Hurts 18 for 28 for 221 through the air, as well as 10 for 39 on the ground with a touchdown. This was the Saquon Barkley game that we've been missing for a few weeks. The one-man wrecking crew is back. 26 carries, 146 yards, and two touchdowns on the ground, as well as two catches for 52 yards through the air. This Eagles offense has so much potential because Hurts can either run, Saquon can run, or the passing game can go ballistic with AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert, and DeVonta Smith. There are so many different modes that this Eagles offense can morph into. You can never pin them down, quite literally. So this was a game where Saquon was able to go ballistic and Washington just couldn't stop it. And of course, Daniels kind of took a step down once again this game, 22 for 32, 191 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Daniels slowly giving up his offensive rookie of the year win that was basically in the bag after the first few weeks. Bo Nix is on the come up. So happy I got him in fantasy. And still, I still lost though, which sucks. But Bo Nix on the way up, Daniels on the way down, not being able to perform the way he has all year. On the ground, Daniels, a guy who's known for his rushing as well. 7 for 18 on the ground, only 2.6 yards per carry and no scores. Just a rough game from Daniels here. We've been seeing it the last few weeks, got shut down against Pittsburgh, and just hasn't been the same guy he was the first few weeks. But that's just how it is. And Washington needs to find a way to rebound if they want to be this team that people are feared of again. But receiving, Austin Ekeler had 8 catches for 89 yards. When your running back's your leading receiver, you know that's a problem because Terry McLaurin, a guy who's been dominating all year, had his first trip to Quintanamo Bay. Quinyon Mitchell locked him up. No catches when lined up on Mitchell. Overall, McLaurin was one catch for 10 yards, but no catches, and I don't even believe a target when McLaurin was lined up on Mitchell. So Mitchell's been sending guys to Quintanamo Bay all year, just shutting down CeeDee and McLaurin and Neighbors, and I can keep going and going and going. Quinyon Mitchell is that guy, I believe, going to be the defensive rookie of the year. The kid's a dog, shutting down top receivers in this league like a mini Revis Island. And that's just how it is for this Eagles defense. Was able to shut down the Commanders offense very well. When McLaurin's not going, it's hard for the whole offense to get going. Zach Ertz did have a solid game, 6 for 47 and a touchdown. But of course, when McLaurin's not going, you can't really win. Philly advances to 8-2 over the 7-4 Commanders, 26-18 on Thursday Night Football. Second game of the week, Dolphins get their get back, beating the Raiders 34-19. Dolphins move to 4-6. Raiders fall to 2-8. A very rough time in Vegas. But Tua Tagovailoa has been balling. 28 for 36, 288 yards, and three touchdowns to no picks. This was the game we've been waiting for Tua after his concussion, showing he still knows how to toss the ball. And it was working all game. Jonnu Smith, six catches, 101 yards, and two touchdowns for the tight end, who's been relatively silent for the majority of the year, balling for his second 20-plus point game this year. The first, I believe, coming in the first few weeks of the season. I want to say it was around week seven, where he probably had around 20, but he's just been kind of silent the majority of games, but he balled here. Tyreek Hill, 7 for 61 and a touchdown. Nothing else really active in the passing game. Achane did have 17 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown on the ground, however. But Miami was just firing on all cylinders. Raiders couldn't keep up. Gardner Minshew, 30 for 43, 282 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. And Brock Bowers broke the rookie tight end reception record in week 11, having 13 catches for 126 yards and a touchdown in this one. The clear first target for Gardner Minshew in this Raiders offense. Absolutely balling and making his own case for offensive rookie of the year. If you were to ask me, it's between Nix and Bowers right now because Daniels and Neighbors have fallen off the map, gone MIA. So I would go between Bowers and Nix going head-to-head, two AFC West powerhouses as rookies. Pretty impressive in this one. There was no rushing game. I'm not even going to talk about the Raiders' rushing game. It was non-existent. Their leading rusher was Jacoby Myers, a wide receiver. That's all you need to know. Anyway, Miami wins 34-19 over the Vegas Raiders as we head on to Game 3, Cleveland and New Orleans. Derek Carr balls in this one. 21 for 27, 248 yards, two touchdowns, and no picks. But the man of this game is, wait, our fantasy won. The best fantasy player this week for the New Orleans Saints. Let's see if you can guess who it is. You're going to guess Kamara? No. Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, 7 carries, 138 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, as well as 8 catches for 50 yards. And hey, he also had 1 completion on 2 attempts for 18 yards and a pick. But he fumbled, and still leads as the number one fantasy player of the week. Taysom Hill with maybe the best game of his career. Probably the best game of his career. 3 rushing touchdowns. Over like 180 all-purpose yards, maybe even 200, close to. Just a great game from Taysom Hill, a guy who's been relatively lacking based on his versatility efforts. I mean, he's below 10 points most games, only three games above 10 points. He had 14.4 against Atlanta in week 4. He had 16 against Carolina in week 9. And then against Cleveland, he drops 41.52 to lead the entire NFL. So a huge game there from Taysom Hill, of course, leading to a Saints win. Jameis Winston still played well. 30 for 46, 395 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, as well as 1 carry for 8 yards. But besides Judy's massive touchdown, I want to say it was around 82 yards, if I remember properly. But Judy, 6 for 142 in a touchdown. Elijah Moore, 6 for 66 in a touchdown. And David Njoku, 9 for 81, was not enough to even get close to a win. New Orleans blows Cleveland out, 35 to 14. Saints move up to 4-7. Browns fall to 2-8. Now, next game, Colts-Jets. If I were to tell you this is one of the most entertaining games of the week, you'd probably call me crazy heading in. But Aaron Rodgers falls just short of the Anthony Richardson comeback game. Anthony Richardson, 20 for 30, 272 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks, as well as 10 carries for 32 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns on the ground. A guy who was benched for Joe Flacco, saw Flacco play horrible, came right back, and got a win in stunning fashion. Do I wish I maybe didn't drop him now in fantasy? Probably, but we'll see if he can keep it up against a better team. But Richardson, of course, 3 total touchdowns, over 300 all-purpose yards. Great game there from the quarterback coming back from his little timeout on the bench. But Josh Downs, 5 receptions, 84 yards, and one of the craziest catches I've seen all year, diving to snag one. Really impressive catch there from Downs. But other than that, I mean, just some constant catches. Pierce, 3 for 74, Pittman, 5 for 46, Mitchell, 1 for 33. But this was just the Richardson show, getting the ball all over the place to everyone in this team, enough to get the win against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Rodgers, 22 for 29, 184 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. But this game, again, was Breece Hall Central. 16 carries, 78 yards, and a rushing touchdown, as well as 7 catches, 43 yards, and a receiving touchdown. Devontae Adams, 6 for 72 through the air. Garrett Wilson, 4 for 18. Probably Wilson's worst game of the year against such an awful defense in Indianapolis. So not a great look there for Garrett Wilson for the rest of the year. However, the other touchdown from Rodgers was caught by Kenny Yeboah, a tight end that you have probably never heard of, 26 years old, 6'4", 250, but making his touchdown catch count 1 for 11 and the tutty. But all this offense, and it still wasn't enough to beat the Anthony Richardson comeback game. Colts move up to 5-6. Jets fall to 3-8. Colts win 28-27 over the Jets. Now on to the next game, Vikings and Titans. Sam Darnold gets another win in the book. 20 for 32, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks, as well as 8 carries for 18 yards and a rushing touchdown for Mr. Ghostbuster himself, Sam Darnold, putting up another good stat line here, even without Justin Jefferson. I mean, he played, but he just didn't do too much. 6 catches, 81 yards. I mean, for Jefferson, that's relatively silent. This was Addison's game. 3 for 61 and a touchdown through the air. The other touchdown was a catch by Cam Akers playing the running back two role in this one. But Darnold, again, able to spread the field, getting the ball to over 10 different receivers. And, of course, it worked against this Tennessee defense that needs a lot of work to continue trending up. But the Vikings are now up to 8-2. Titans fall to 2-8. Vikings win 23-13, despite maybe one of the best plays we've seen all year. Will Levis, 17 for 31, 295 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. That 1 touchdown was to the man who I appreciate more than anyone else on this earth. If you listen back 2 episodes ago, you would know about a certain Tennessee Titan that I'm a huge fan of, showing once again why he's so valuable. Nick Westbrook Ekwuegh, 2 catches, 117 yards, and 1 touchdown, a 98-yard touchdown catch from the goal line from Will Levis. This man's a dog. He needs to get the respect he deserves, and this was the game I think that might do it. Of course, 58.5 yards per catch is nice, but how about great? I mean, this kid is so talented, and you need to start realizing how talented this kid is. Maybe a good waiver wire pickup. Again, he's this guy. I mean, Calvin Ridley is the wide receiver one. We know that. But you can never go wrong with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine proving it this week. Ridley, 4 for 58, however. Again, but not much passing here from Will Levis. He's not a guy that you want to expect to throw many passing touchdowns. He's just lucky that Westbrook-Ikhine is so good at getting open that he's able to get that one. But again, Vikings beat the Titans 23-13. Vikings to 8-2, Titans to 2-8. Next game, Green Bay, Chicago. A heartbreaker for Caleb Williams. Green Bay wins it 20-19 on a blocked field goal attempt by the Bears. Again, that would have won them the game. The Bears have been on a cold streak for several games since Jaden Daniels threw a Hail Mary to beat them and just sealed away their fate once again with a blocked kick. I feel so bad for at the Bears Arc on Twitter. This man said, "You'll never see me again on this app if this happens to us next week against Green Bay," when Denver's field goal was blocked against Kansas City, and recently made a post on that same Twitter account saying, "Goodbye, everyone," showing that they are keeping their promise for leaving the app forever. Of course, November 17th, "Goodbye, everyone." The top comment says, "Holy crap, I remember seeing this. We are so cursed." And that's what it was. The Bears this season are indeed cursed. Caleb is not even playing bad football, but when you have Matt Eberflus as your coach, nothing much is going to work. But Jordan Love just, you know, he plays mediocre. 13 for 17, 261 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick was enough to get the win. Rushing, Josh Jacobs, 18 for 76 and a rushing touchdown. Love, 4 for 18 and a touchdown on the ground. The passing game, Christian Watson, 4 catches, 150 yards. Josh Jacobs, 4 catches, 58 yards. And the one receiving touchdown was caught by Jaden Reed, who had 2 for 23. But somehow, that production from Jordan Love was enough to win this game. Caleb Williams, 23 for 31, 231 yards, no touchdown, no picks. Both touchdowns for Chicago were rushing. DeAndre Swift, 14 for 71 in a touchdown. And the touchdown that broke the, I believe, three-game touchdown list streak was a Roshon Johnson touchdown. 10 carries for 33 yards for Johnson. Mediocre passing game. Again, was not enough. Packers win on a blocked field goal, 20 to 19. Green Bay moves to 7-3. Chicago falls to 4-6. On to the next one. We don't need to talk about it for long. Detroit and Jacksonville. Jared Goff, holy cow. 24 for 29, 412 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. Now, if you think that's all they did on offense, you could not be more wrong. David Montgomery, 15 carries, 75 yards, two rushing touchdowns, and Jahmyr Gibbs adds a rushing touchdown of his own on 11 for 69 yards. So we have seven total touchdowns in the Lions offense this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown with a legacy game, 11 catches, 161 yards, two touchdowns. Of course, the week I play him in fantasy, another guy had a legacy game who I played. We'll talk about him later in the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game. But, you know, Amon-Ra, 11 for 161, two touchdowns. Jameson Williams, 4 for 124 and a touchdown. Happy I benched him. Wow. And the other touchdown was caught by Brock Wright. One catch, 5 yards, and the tutty. Jahmyr Gibbs did also have a catch for 54 yards. But this Detroit offense is absolutely disgusting. Brian Branch also had one of the hardest defensive hits I've seen all year. This Lions team, I think, is Super Bowl bound. And I don't really know who can stop them right now. This team is on fire in every way humanly possible. But in addition to the Lions being great, the Jaguars stink. Mac Jones, 17 for 29, 138 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. Again, no scoring, just two little field goals from Cam Little, who did hit a 59-yarder. That was pretty impressive. But, you know, no offensive production. Brian Thomas, 5 for 82, no touchdowns, and nobody else got above 30 yards. So it's just Brian Thomas did okay. Nobody else did anything. Detroit moves to 9-1, beats the 2-9 Jaguars 52-6. Absolute mercy rule and a beat down into the ground for the Lions. And now we got Rams and Pats. Stafford not slowing down. 18 for 27, 295 yards. Four touchdowns and no picks. Both receivers did incredible this week. Puka Nacua, 7 catches, 123 yards and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 6 for 106 and two touchdowns. So three touchdowns, over 220 total yards on 13 catches for the wide receivers one and two for the Rams. The other touchdown was caught by Colby Parkinson, one catch for 19 yards and the touchdown. Kyren Williams has been almost obliterated from this game plan. 15 carries, 86 yards, no touchdowns, no receptions, no nothing. He's getting cut out, and Nacua and Kupp are getting all of his targets or touches, as would probably be better because he's more of a running back, Kyren. But I mean, the Rams, they are on fire offensively. Defensively could definitely be better, but offensively, they could not be doing quite better at all, as contrary to what they're doing right now. Drake May, another offensive rookie of the year candidate, I do not think competes with Knicks or Bowers, but still putting together a nice year. 30 for 40, 282 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. One was to Kendrick Bourne on 5 for 70 in a touchdown. And the other was to Vidarian Lowe, who had one catch for 4 yards. Funny enough, he's their offensive tackle. So an offensive tackle with a receiving touchdown for the Patriots in this one. They still lose, though. Ramondre Stevenson, not his greatest game. 20 carries, 73 yards, as well as 4 catches for 16 yards. Hunter Henry had 6 catches for 63, and that was about it. New England falls by 6, 28-22 to the 5-5 Rams. New England drops to 3-8 at the hands of Matthew Stafford, who has been playing quarterback since the dinosaurs. And now we're heading to a game that broke my fantasy season. Pittsburgh beats Baltimore 18-16 in a defensive showdown. Pittsburgh up to 8-2, Baltimore down to 7-4. But this was a Chris Boswell legacy game. My opponent saying that kickers don't mean anything. Well, his kicker went 6-for-6 on field goals with a long of 57 and responsible for 18 of the Pittsburgh Steelers' 18 points. Russell Wilson was shut down. Chris Boswell was anything but it. Russell Wilson, 23-for-36, 205 yards, no touchdowns, and one pick. He also had 4 carries for 1 yard on the ground. Great job, Russ. Awful game, man. But Najee did nothing. Nobody not named George Pickens did anything on this offense. Pickens, 8-for-89, doing what he does best, just getting numbers for this Pittsburgh offense. But of course, the best part about this Pittsburgh team is their incredible defense. Names like Minkah Fitzpatrick, Patrick Queen, TJ Watt, Cameron Hayward, Peyton Wilson. I can go on and on. Larry Ogunjobi, just a ton of dogs. Joey Porter Jr., one of the best young corners in this league, was able to shut down Lamar Jackson, the leading MVP candidate, for only 16-for-33, 207 yards, one passing touchdown, and one pick. The touchdown was to Zay Flowers on 2 catches for 39 yards. Derrick Henry with not too great of a game, 13-for-65 and a touchdown. But the Pittsburgh defense is legit, man. Holding Baltimore to 16 points is almost unheard of this year. So Pittsburgh, at this point, I believe is unironically a threat. This is a team that other teams should be terrified of, maybe unless you're the Detroit Lions. But everyone else should at least be somewhat worried because this Steelers team is ready to play. Of course, Pittsburgh wins 18-16 over Baltimore in that one. I hate Chris Boswell. As we move to our next game against 2-5-5 NFC West teams, the Seahawks beat the Niners 20-17 as Geno Smith leads a game-winning drive at the end of the fourth quarter, and the Niners could not do anything about it. Geno Smith, 25-for-32, 221 yards, no passing touchdowns, and one pick. You might be curious why I said no passing touchdowns instead of no touchdowns overall. Because Geno's game-winning drive ended in a rushing touchdown. Geno Smith, 4 carries, 29 yards, and the game-winning touchdown on the ground, as well as Kenneth Walker putting up solid rushing numbers, 14-for-54 and a touchdown on the ground. Walker, 2 catches, 5 yards. But again, JSN is a receiver that you can't sleep on. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 10 catches, 110 yards. DK Metcalf behind him at 7-for-70. And that was it in terms of offensive production, but it's still enough to beat this awful Niners offense in this one. And I have a feeling that Shanahan's just entirely taking Deebo Samuel out of the game plan. Juwan Jennings is looking like wide receiver one, which is kind of annoying to me as a Deebo fantasy owner. But it is what it is, and I'm happy they lost because they deserve it. So Brock Purdy, 21-for-28, 159 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, as well as a rushing touchdown, 5 carries for 40 yards, but just totally taking Deebo out of the game plan. Juwan Jennings, 10-for-91 and a touchdown. Deebo only 4-for-22 through the air. CMC 4-for-27 through the air. McCaffrey also had 79 rushing yards on a 4.2 per rush clip. And Geno's one pick was caught by Isaac Yiadom of the Niners. And Purdy's pick was caught by Jonathan Hankins of the Seahawks. But I am so happy the Niners lost this one. Shanahan needs to put my guy Deebo Samuel back in this offense. But Seahawks take this one 20-17 on a game-winning drive from Geno Smith. And my boy Bo Nix showing up in this one. Broncos beat the Falcons 38-6. Now both at 6-5 records, but Bo Nix is legit. Pick him up if he's on the waiver wire. This kid's a dog and has a cake schedule the rest of the year. You need to pick this kid up if you're struggling at the quarterback position. 28-for-33, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. And that's basically just rushing the ball in the entire fourth quarter. That's 3 quarters roughly worth of work. Just four touchdowns through the air. No biggie. Also, two carries for 5 yards on the ground. Whoop-de-doo. But he's also a rushing threat in certain games. So Bo Nix is a guy you need to pick up. Javonte Williams had a great game, too. 9 carries, 59 yards, and a touchdown on the ground, as well as 4 catches for 28 yards through the air. But Nix was spreading the ball everywhere he needed to. 4 touchdowns through the air. Lil Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, and Nate Adkins all got their own fair share of the end zone. Cortland Sutton had a good game, too. 7 catches, 78 yards. Vele with 4 for 66. He's just been like putting the ball wherever he needs to. Jaleel McLaughlin and Estemi also got a few rushing reps, but this was an absolute beatdown from Denver. Kirk Cousins never stood a shot. 18 for 27, 173 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 pick. And it got so bad that Michael Penix stepped in the game at the end, 2 for 4 for 24 yards. But Kirk just hasn't had it these last couple weeks, and neither has Bijan. When one goes down, the other also goes down. No offensive production for the Falcons whatsoever. Just a beatdown. Bo Nix is that guy. 38-6, Broncos win over the Falcons. And now here we get to the upset of the year. The undefeated Chiefs finally go down. The banged up Buffalo Bills come in and beat Mahomes and the Devil Magic Chiefs. 30-21. Josh Allen, 27 for 40, 262 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, as well as 12 carries for 55 yards and a rushing touchdown for Josh Allen, also known as Slenderman. And the other two tutties both came from James Cook, 9 carries, 20 yards, so an average of 2.2, but still got 2 rushing touchdowns. Khalil Shakir balling, as he always does, 8 catches, 70 yards. The receiving touchdown was caught by Curtis Samuel, 5 for 58 and a touchdown. And nobody else on the offense did too much. Cooper, 2 for 55. Knox, 4 for 40. Hollins, 2 for 27. But it was enough. I mean, Kansas City just could not pull it out. Mahomes, 23 for 33, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. The 2 picks obviously costing them. One caught by Taylor Rapp, the other by Terrell Bernard. But Xavier Worthy finally had a good game again, 4 for 61 and a touchdown. And the other 2 touchdowns were both caught by Noah Gray, the backup tight end for Travis Kelce. Gray, 4 for 23, 2 touchdowns. Kelce, 2 catches, 8 yards. So Gray, basically tight end 1 in this game. Hopkins shut down. Watson shut down. Nobody else did anything. Noah Gray and Xavier Worthy got the job done. No one else did. Kareem Hunt was gone. Hardman was gone. Nothing was firing enough to be able to beat this Buffalo offense, even with Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid both missing the game due to injury. The undefeated Chiefs fall to Buffalo. Buffalo wins 30-21. And the final game of this episode, I'm beginning to feel sorry for Joe Burrow. I mean, this is unfortunate. Burrow does his best every week to win, 28 for 50, 356 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Another incredible game from the maybe now front runner for MVP with Lamar getting shut down. But Burrow's first in touchdowns, I believe first in yardage, I think first in passer rating. He's just first in everything across the board. So he should be an MVP candidate and maybe the first MVP candidate in a while for his team to not make the playoffs. Bengals down to 4-7. Chargers up to 7-3 as LA wins 34-27. T. Higgins, 9 for 148 and a touchdown. Chase, 7 for 75 and 2 touchdowns. With those 2 great performances, you would assume that Cincinnati won. They did not. Herbert, 17 for 36, 297 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. J.K. Dobbins had the other 2 touchdowns on the ground, 11 carries, 56 yards, and 2 TDs. Herbert also showing off some mobility, 5 for 65. Both receiving touchdowns, 1 caught by Will Disley, 4 for 80 in the tutty. The other by Quentin Johnston, 2 for 48 in a tutty. Ladd McConkey had 6 catches, 123 yards. So the Chargers offense was matching what Cincinnati was doing enough to win. So Chargers win this one 34-27 over the Bengals and MVP front runner Joe Burrow. Currently in the fourth quarter of Monday Night Football, Houston-Dallas, Houston winning 27-10. CJ Stroud is still doing nothing. It's the Joe Mixon show. 18 carries, 103 yards, two touchdowns so far. Again, Stroud taking a huge step down this year. Cooper Rush is actually not playing awful. 27 for 49, 313 yards, one touchdown, and one pick. The touchdown was a one reception, 64-yard bomb to Kevontae Turpin, the former returner in the, I believe, USFL. CeeDee Lamb's not having a bad game either. Eight catches, 93 yards. I actually didn't think he'd play this well with Cooper Rush, especially matched up on Derek Stingley for Houston. However, Stingley does have a pick of Cooper Rush. So Stingley obviously got the best of him on that play, but still Lamb playing a solid game. But Dallas still getting beat up after a piece of metal fell from their roof. Houston on top 27-10, and that's going to be it for the games from this week as we head into our fantasy segment. Again, the fantasy segment sponsored by Cade Starters for all your sports betting and fantasy needs. But we will talk about some crazy performances this week. Taysom Hill, as I said, number one, 41.5 points, excuse me. Jared Goff, 34.5. Amon-Ra, 38.7. Saquon, we expected. Brock Bowers, we did not necessarily expect. 31.3 for the kid from Georgia. And this was just a week of so many random guys balling. Bo Nix putting up numbers, 28.78 fantasy points. Jonnu Smith, 28.1. Anthony Richardson, comeback game, 28.08. Matthew Stafford, 27.8. Jameis Winston, 26.6. And Jerry Jeudy, 26.2. Juwan Jennings also putting up good numbers, 25.1. There are some big guys there that you may not expect to score as many points as they did, but oh boy, did they have games that they can go back and tell their families about. But how about some of the busts of the week? Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins for quarterbacks, just doing nothing, getting no offensive production. Pittsburgh still won. Falcons could not have been further from it. So two very different ends of the spectrum, both on the same end of the spectrum for not producing anything for their teams. In terms of running backs, Etienne, Raheem Mostert, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, Kareem Hunt. A lot of running back busts this week as it was a quarterback week. Notice only two big quarterback busts in this one compared to seven or eight halfbacks. Just a huge passing attack from guys like Bo Nix, just balling out. Burrow and Herbert, all putting up great passing games. In terms of receivers, Terry McLaurin, one catch, 10 yards for two fantasy points. Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle's been a bust all year. He has not done anything in like any game this year. I don't know if I've ever had a positive statement about Jalen Waddle in the 24-25 season. Garrett Wilson's first real bust of the year, only 5.8. Darnell Mooney, 4.7 after averaging over probably 15 points a game so far this year. Debo Samuel has been busting all year. I don't necessarily know what I expected. Only 6.1 for Samuel in some leagues. Tyler Lockett, 3.9. Hopkins, 5.9. So a few notable wide receivers not getting their targets as other guys were, such as Worthy over Hopkins, JSN and Metcalf over Lockett, Juwan Jennings over Debo. Nobody was on fire for Falcons, so Mooney just couldn't get the ball. Adams took all of Wilson's targets. Waddle just stinks this year. Tyreek and Jonnu Smith got his. Not much of a passing game this week for Philly. Devonta Smith just couldn't keep up. And Terry McLaurin was locked up in Guantanamo Bay, as I said earlier. In terms of tight ends, Travis Kelce, Kyle Pitts, Tucker Kraft, Tyler Conklin, Pat Freiermuth, Mark Andrews, and TJ Hawkinson all going to fantasy football prison. They all did nothing this week. The tight end position was at such a high point on National Tight End Week that you'd expect it to at least somewhat continue. But we're back to the usual when tight ends are nothing more than an inconsistency in our fantasy football lineups. So that's what the fantasy outlook was for this week. As we covered the games and fantasy segment, I would like to thank you all again for listening to this episode of the Playoff Push Podcast. We have a very special episode for tomorrow if you're listening to this on release day. I really hope you enjoy our episode with a very notable and legendary MLB writer, and we will see what happens in that episode. I'd like to thank you all again. Please enjoy and leave a review if you did enjoy, and have a great rest of your day.